Welcome to this class. Now, there was no communication between me when I prepared for this workshop and you, the potential attendees, during my time of preparation. Okay, good. Handouts here. So, our expectations may differ a little bit for this class, and I did have a moment of a bit of fear when I got here and realized who the Ivan Martin is who's doing the series on communication, because it's the same Ivan Martin who I heard do a series on communication a number of years ago and who I used heavily, his notes I used heavily in some of my preparation for this. So if you've been paying attention in his, you're going to see some overlap. I'm not going to apologize for that because I guess it was supposed to be. I think he's used this quote by Ellen Langer in his class. I haven't been in all of them. So if you can call out the blanks there for A and B, come on in. There's room on the far side in the front. Here's a handout. If you can call out the blanks there for A and B under introduction, go ahead. Okay, maybe he didn't use it. I know it was on his notes. Mindlessness is when we behave in ways that made sense in our past but have little to do with the present moment. Hey, it worked before, I'm going to keep doing it this way. In contrast, we want mindfulness, which is a flexible state of mind in which we are actively engaged in the present, noticing new things and sensitive to the context. So what I'd like to look at today, it's actually, I've divided it into several parts. I want to look at how communication should happen between school staff members. Are any of you here teaching alone? You're the only teacher in your school. Okay, we've got one. Sorry, I might not have just a whole lot here for you, but the principles, I hope, will apply to your interaction with your board, parents, and students as well. Then we'd like to look a bit at what to do, what we can do if it doesn't go as it should. So I'm going to start there. You notice point two on the handout, and this is not intended to be a comprehensive list. Rather, it's kind of a history of my co-teacher relationships with the exception of G. So when I started teaching school 10, 11 years ago, I haven't taught that long. I've had some breaks in there. But I was a new teacher. I was teaching upper grade. I was the only man teacher. I didn't feel like much of a man at 20 years old. Teaching with two older single ladies from our church who had both taught for years. The junior of the two had been teaching so long that if we had lived in the same community when I was in first grade, she would have had me as a first grader. The other one had taught several years longer than that. So they knew what they were doing. And I'm fresh from the barn shop, and I'm supposed to go in there and lead out, you know, the Bible mandate, the men lead. You want to talk about nervous and tense? Yeah. Well, they were very nice about it all. It didn't stay there very long. You know, we understood the importance of communication. We attempted to do that, but for a time, at least with all three of us together, it was a lot of just surface, necessary items. You know, we talked about what we had to, but, you know, didn't really know each other well. And then, you know, you get to know each other better and personalities start coming out and you find yourself clicking more with some than with others, and so the relationship can actually stay on that level longer than it should, perhaps, because, well, you know, we don't view things the same. I forgot, I was going to check at the beginning and make sure that there's nobody here who would know any of my former co-teachers. I'm not going to say any names, but I don't want to unduly lift some people up or run them in the dust.
Sorry, did I miss?
Yes, I did. Thank you. There are some chairs over on the far side. I had a co-teacher once that we didn't quite see everything eye to eye. The way this teacher's students were allowed to behave bothered me. the academic level this teacher was comfortable with bothered me. And our school was largely set up on, we teachers were more or less on the same level. We all reported directly to the board, so there was no way in which I was this person's authority, although I did have seniority. But it made our relationship somewhat awkward and stilted, because there were certain things I didn't feel was in my place to try to straighten up, and yet I wasn't comfortable with it. Any of you know what I'm talking about, maybe? Yeah, okay, I'm seeing a few. How do you deal with that? Then I had a co-teacher once who was getting ready to get married. And let me tell you, he had a one-track mind. And that's a great thing when you're getting married, but not a great thing when you're teaching school. Well, our relationship was pretty rushed and brief. You know, we talked about the stuff we had to, but I'd better catch him pretty quickly after dismissal bell, because he was out. He had other things on his mind. He was doing other stuff. And then I've been blessed most of my years with relaxed co-teacher relationships. Storytelling takes some time. Doesn't usually happen the first week. Know each other well. You feel comfortable with each other. But as I was evaluating, I said, I think there's a level above this yet. The discussions and the sharing, where we actually discuss our goals, what we want to see happening in our classroom this year, our ideologies, the methods, the procedures we use. And we find ourselves becoming a team that not only talks together, but thinks together and works together. Now, like I said, I'm not giving these six things here as a staircase necessarily. Sometimes co-teacher relationships fluctuate, and you may have your own stories or descriptive adjectives of how your relationships have been. But that's a bit of my story. Thankfully, I have never experienced dysfunctional relationships with my co-teachers. I can't say whether they have with me or not, but I trust not. But I've heard stories, and they're not pleasant. And some of you have been there, where there's just major headbutting, dislike, less than Christian attitudes. And that's not the way things should be. And yet sometimes they are. Is there anything, any of you, I'd like to open this to you as much as possible as well. Anything you would like to add on this subject before we get into the part of how to initiate and maintain regular communication with your co-teachers? Okay, so this is now assuming that your co-teacher relationships are on an upward trajectory. You're getting to know each other better. You're working together well. Things are improving all the time. If they're not, maybe use some of those conflict resolution tips we heard about this morning. But what are some ways we can ensure that the communication that needs to happen happens? Well, first of all, to you as the head teacher, or perhaps the principal or the administrator in your school, whatever your term is, often that's going to be over here, although some of you probably, if you're teaching in a sisters-only school, have that title as well. What do you need to do? Well, one thing I do a lot of is use lists. If I don't write it down, I'm going to forget it. I don't know. The older I get, the more things I get in my mind, they slip. So use lists. I need to talk about this. One thing actually that our school has is a handbook, administrator's calendar of responsibilities or something is in there, and it tells me things I need to be keeping track of and making sure it's happening. You know, that you do this in September and you do this in October. Some of it's a little bit like, okay, I mean, obviously, but it's good. You know, and I look at that periodically. Am I communicating the things that need to? Are we taking care of the things we need to take care of? Be approachable. Your co-teachers should know that your door is always open to them. They can drop in whenever they want to, and they can say whatever they want to. and they can even come both at the same time and just pretty much invade, and what do they want now? It's fine. Be completely approachable. Know your responsibilities, the extent of your responsibilities, and also the limitations of your responsibilities. In our school, I'm the administrator, which makes me responsible for the day-to-day general direction of the school. If one of the other teachers has a discipline problem, a question about how fast should we be going through these books, or just a general question, it comes to me. If they're having difficulty working with parents not supporting the way they're disciplining the child, they come to me. But guess what? What if they can't get along with me? It's clearly understood that they are free at any time to go to the chairman of the board if I'm not in my place behaving. That's the limit of my responsibility. I have no right to complain if my co-teachers go to my chairman about me, especially if I've not been approachable, if I've not been listening to them, if I've not been doing something about the things they need me to do for them. And along with that, know others' responsibilities. Is this a trustee issue? Is this something that you should ask your chairman about? Is it something maybe that should go to the ministry of your church? Don't be afraid to delegate as a head teacher or principal, but don't push off all the unpleasant tasks just because you don't like them, unless your co-teachers are good with taking them. Again, communication is the key there. Okay, so for a regular teacher, just the teacher who's not in charge, you're just one of the staff there, I would suggest you make lists. My co-teachers learned that was a good idea. If they wanted something from me, you know, if they would write it down, I would get it done. Either they put it on the list or I would put it on the list. Stuff you need to know, you want to know, you're bothered about. I talked about invasions a bit. Yeah, they would invade with these big tablets, you know, this big and all these things. Okay, what about this? What about this? And what about this? And it was good because it kept our communication focused, and we talked about the things we needed to talk about. Also, for a regular teacher, be approachable so that others feel free to drop in on you. Ask how you can improve. This happened to me. Last year, co-teachers would say, "Hey, is there anything you're seeing? Anything that I can do to be a better teacher? Any weakness you see?" That was my chance. And it's much better that way, though. Because we hate confrontation. We hate approaching people. When the open door is there, many times there's no need there. And guess what? I didn't have anything to say. Because the communication, the relationship was there, that there was nothing to discuss. And also, as a teacher, know your responsibilities, the extents and the limits. And again, know others' responsibilities. If it's clearly defined who does what, there's less stepping on other people's toes, getting in other people's way, and there's a lot less of stuff just not getting done. What do you do if your school doesn't have that stuff well defined? You've dropped in there, maybe all your co-teachers are new. Sit down together, have a faculty meeting, a staff meeting, just hash it out for yourselves. Write some stuff down. This is how we're going to try to do it. Be flexible, it might not work. So what are some things, any questions or comments at this point before we get into number four? Well, what are some things we should communicate about? And at any point in this, especially, if you think of something I'm missing, or just say so. And I tried to put this, to write this in terms of the new teacher. You're walking into a new school, a new classroom this year. Actually, we have a new teacher in our school this year, and I'm going to be doing orientation with our teachers soon after we get back. And these are some things that I want to go over. I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. Who has which grades? Hopefully that's already been covered, but sometimes there are last-minute shifts. We've got one going on right now. Looks like there's a family moving in, and suddenly we have more students and we have to adjust things and we might even be adding a teacher at the last minute.
Sure.
But, so, okay, so which grades am I responsible for? How many students? Make sure that's clear before the first day. Who's responsible for recess supervision? Does every teacher supervise his or her own students? Or is there one teacher who's on recess duty? However it works, make sure it's known. Lunch preparation. We have an oven at our school and we bring food wrapped in tinfoil and we put it on the counter and somebody takes care of it, and when we come out at 12 o'clock it's hot. Well, guess what? Somebody has to be responsible, be appointed to do that. Maybe it's one of the teachers, maybe it's the upper grade girls. Make sure somebody does it. Who answers the phone? Who answers the phone when... Okay, so I'm supposed to answer the phone. Well, then I got moved to the outdoor classroom and I never heard the phone. So then somebody else answers the phone. Expectations. If you're coming into a new school, especially a new community, what are some general school rules? Hopefully there's a handbook. Hopefully there's an orientation packet. Something to give you a bit of familiarity. But if not, don't be afraid to go to your chairman or head teacher, whoever, and give him a list of things. You've heard the tongue-in-cheek saying it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. I would like to suggest, though, that from the standpoint of a Christian teacher, it's better to ask permission than forgiveness. Get it up front clear. What's expected of me? How should I do things? It might be small things, really, but it's part of the school culture that has made the school what it is and has probably helped to make it a good school. Do your part to maintain that. What are the expectations for classroom decor, for reading material? I got kind of caught up on this one a bit. We were talking about enlarging the school library, and we're trying to figure out, well, who should buy the books? And I said, well, I'll be going to CMTI. There's a lot of books there. I'll be glad to pick some up. And you're like, yeah, sure. And then someone said, well, who officially approves the books? I said, I don't know. Someone said, well, the administrator does. Oh, okay. And the administrator, they went on to say, is responsible to make sure that any books used in the school or available to the students are acceptable as well. Oh, okay. Well, one of our teachers had brought her own library along, had it there, and the children were using it. I had looked at it a bit, but I hadn't really, you know, made sure these books were all good books, and I should have, because that was my responsibility, and I didn't. There wasn't any problem, but I'm not trying to say that we become lawyers and nitpicky for the details, and yet it's important. If it's your job, do it. If it's not your job, put it in the hands of where it does belong. Dress standards of the school. You know, many times for our church schools, the school and church dress standard are the same. Not a big deal. Our school says that boys are supposed to have their shirt tails tucked in while at school. Well, there's nothing in our church guidelines about that. Well, guess what? The teacher needs to make sure that happens. Come in from recess, boys, get your shirt tails in, make yourself presentable for class. And that's something to communicate to the faculty at large. Procedures. Again, this is somewhat similar. How the school is operated. How does devotional time operate? Okay, so Monday morning, somebody comes in for devotionals. Tuesday mornings, you're on your own. Wednesday morning, the whole group. You get the picture. What's happening? Make sure your co-teachers know what's going on. How do we go about going to recess and returning? Do we line up outside the door and all come in at the same time? How do we go out for recess? When the buzzer goes, is it a jolly free-for-all, or does the teacher dismiss them? I'd just like to put a little plug in here that the bell is for the teacher, and the students listen to the teacher's word. That's maybe a personal thing there, but how is it going to work? It's okay either way. How do you want things carried about in study time? Now, is it important for teachers to know how each other conducts their classroom on a day-to-day basis during study hours? Maybe not essential. It's interesting. How many times do you get into your co-teachers' classrooms during study hours? It's strange, but sometimes I feel like I know less about my co-teachers' classrooms than I do some other things, although I do try to just periodically show up and walk around. I did find what information I did have to be helpful today. One of my co-teachers called me on my way to school and said, can you sub for me today? So we just combined our classrooms and it worked. But extra activities. You want to take your students on a fall hike. You just up and do that? Or is there someone who needs to be let know? Or is there certain supervisory guidelines in place? Find out. Changes. The schedule changed. The man who was scheduled to come in for Monday morning devotions says, no, I'm not coming until Wednesday. In one school I taught in, I wasn't the one who arranged that, and so sometimes I would never find out if there was a cancellation. A little bit frustrating, kind of got under my skin until I figured out that it doesn't need to bother me. I can just switch our group chorus morning and still not have to prepare one at the last minute. Now I'm the one who's responsible for arranging it, and so I need to make sure I let my co-teachers know if something's changing. And then there's all the little stuff. Who turns the lights out? Where are the keys for the building? On and on. And then we need to communicate about school life. And this is the good part. Hopefully, if your co-teacher relationships are good, the day's over, the students are gone, you come in, hopefully there's some grateful patron who stocks the fridge with Coke or iced coffee or something, you know, and you sit down and you take one and you eat your Oreo cookies or your chips or whatever, you know, and you just talk about the day. The things that happened that day, the things you're struggling with. I found it a great time to just catch up. How's so-and-so doing with his goofing off problem? You know, and we just talk about it. Next week, I taught part-time the last 2 years, and my schedule was supposed to be fairly, you know, I come in Monday and Wednesday and Friday, but knowing me, it, you know, get mixed around. Okay, so next week I'm not coming Monday, I'm coming Tuesday, and you know, the adjustments that required and all that. And there's just so much of that stuff to discuss. There's something else burning in your mind here, other things that need to be discussed, things that you wish a co-teacher would have discussed with you.
Reasonable standards of excellence, what is considered to be okay to move on to other things, and what kind of thing we need to be zeroed in on.
Good. That's a good point. Because different schools have kind of different understood expectations. Do I need to be giving this student extra work because of how he did on this test? Another thing right along with that would be community expectations on homework. That's a landmine, or it can be. If you're in a new community, make sure you know how they feel about homework. In some communities, it's not a big issue, but others it can be. Good. And anything more?
I think for me, it was coming to a new school and know how they did things. I asked a lot of questions from my co-teacher. How did they do this for a research project in February? How did they do that? And so on.
Yeah, good. If you're the new one, ask lots of questions. I felt so lost when I started teaching at a new school. All of us teachers were new that year, although one of my co-teachers had gone to that school, so it wasn't, you know, she had a degree of familiarity. But the funniest little stuff you don't really think about until all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, how did we do this? And I found my co-teachers to be very gracious with my many questions. So if you're on the receiving end of that, and just, this person has so many questions, be gracious. Would you rather they not ask and, you know, unintentionally offend somebody perhaps? Good. More ideas? how should we communicate with each other? Just a few short points here. Back to the quote at the beginning, we should communicate mindfully. Have a purpose and a plan. There is a time and a place to sit on the counter and drink your Coke and just chat about the day. That's good. That's necessary. But there's also a time and a place for mindful communication. Okay, today we're going to talk about whatever. And that's the second one, scheduled. It's a good idea to communicate in a scheduled way. Our school asks for weekly staff meetings between the administrator, who's typically an off-site administrator, and the teacher. So the administrator comes in once a week, sits down, has a meeting with the teachers. Well, the last 2 years since I was teaching part-time, and since my co-teachers and I got along, we had these unofficial staff meetings on the counter 3 afternoons out of the week. And didn't we that first year kind of try to keep up the form of the official staff meetings? You know, we try to like actually sit down at the table and I take notes and, you know, like I'm supposed to do it. After a while, it just kind of fell by the wayside because, honestly, we were getting everything discussed. And it wasn't like I was responsible to report the outcome of them to the board. I would at the monthly board meeting report on how things were going, but it's not like I had to turn in minutes. Maybe I should have had to. It would have made us do it officially. We still almost needed a schedule, though, more a schedule when to stop talking. You know, we've got work to do. You know, we need to. So there should be a modicum of schedule in your communications. Now, and you may hold me to this, Ruth, this next year we're going to have actual staff meetings, you know, because I won't be there in person. We've got another teacher who's going to be there full time, so I'll come in. We'll have real staff meetings again to keep that flow of communication going, keep that openness going. Communicate as the need arises, okay? So you've got your weekly staff meeting for Wednesday afternoons, and on Thursday afternoon, Johnny straight out lies. Don't wait until the next staff meeting. Call whoever is responsible for discipline for offenses of that nature and deal with Johnny's burden conscience that day yet if you can. The next morning if needed. Don't be so stuck to your schedule that you can't do what you need to do. Communicate with openness. Be willing to be told where you're wrong. Be willing to be told what you could do better. Now the second page of your handout I have when things go downhill. And this part especially is the part that is going to step on top of a lot of some of the other things we've been hearing. So I'm not feeling like we have to get through this. So we'll just stop here. I'm gonna be quiet for at least 30 seconds, which is the maximum amount of time that people will allow a silence to hang, I understand, to make sure you have said your piece. And we can spend the rest of the time discussing what we've already been talking about. I'm good with that. If the 30 seconds come and go, then we can move on. So please, be free. Anybody, the only dumb question is one you didn't ask. So. So this person would just hardly share what was going on. Just yeah, that can be tough. Sounds to me like y'all handled it well there. You can't force the other person to talk.
Can people, non-hint takers such as me,
and me?
Oh, this thing about part of the reason why I'm doing this. The other teacher were giving me hints, this is a problem, and clueless me, completely messed with. What is your...
Well, I'll just tell you what I told my co-teachers. I just pretty much told them, I said, I'm not very good at taking hints, but I'm generally not offended if you just bluntly say it, you know, so just go ahead. So That was actually where our invasion joke kind of came from. You know, when they had something, it was never anything major, they would come in with the sheet of paper, all right, here's the invasion. And to my shame, I had too many irons in the fire, and there were times that they had to remind me multiple times because I didn't use my list properly, or I didn't, you know, it was maybe a gentle hint, hey, you know, we need more reading books before long. Well, I heard the before long part, and you know, and then it's like, are those reading books coming soon? Oh, yeah, I forgot about them. When exactly do you need them? You know, so, yeah, right. So, that's what I did. I just told them, I said, please, just don't be afraid to just tell me. And they did. They did, and I appreciate that. But I do think maybe some of us do need to try to be a little more discerning of the hints. And actually, one thing also I like to do is just periodically ask, okay, is there anything else? Is there anything, you know, that's bugging you? Is there anything I'm doing? You know, is there anything you'd like to be going to the chairman about but are just scared to? just giving those open doors. No, they might not walk through them like you were saying. You know, the co-teacher might not share. But if you've given the open door, you've done your part. Well, I did expect with this many people in the room, there must be somebody who's had a stressful co-teacher relationship and wants some answers. I'm good. I'm glad that things seem to be going well. Anything else? What do we do when things go downhill? Read the book of Philemon. I would love to take the time to read the entire book. Don't think I will. But it is a masterpiece of communication between two men, specifically from Paul to Philemon, in what is potentially a very tense situation. And we unfortunately find ourselves many times in school in tense situations. What can we do to diffuse them? Enter the conversation with these seven necessary attitudes. Love. Verse 1 of Philemon brings that out. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. If I'm getting ready to have a confrontation with somebody about something, I'm not thinking of them in terms of dearly beloved. You know, it's more like, okay, I can appreciate you as a person, but, you know, there's really this thing, love. And then, we have 1 Corinthians 13. Appreciation. In verses 4 and 7, we have that, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. We have humility. Paul, in verses 8 and 9, says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee. Openness. Again, in verses 8 and 9, we see that Paul is not approaching Philemon, these are the problems I'm seeing, this is what you need to do. Instead, here's what we have to talk about. There's respect. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. You know, I feel my co-teacher is really making a big mistake here by not requiring his or her students to do this and this and this. And as administrator, I have the authority to say, listen, in this school, we don't do it this way. How well would that go down? I mean, I'm not saying there's not times when authority must be asserted. But try verse 14 first. Without thy mind would I do nothing. Try some beseeching. Try some openness. Discuss it. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. This openness and respect I find to be so closely linked that it's almost difficult to separate them. But in that, let's not get so concerned about others' feelings that we lose our commitment to truth. Psalm 119, there. Those verses I have, read those. They're powerful. Paul also speaks very bluntly in verses 16 and 17 about what he wants Philemon to do. And then confidence. Do we have enough confidence and goodwill for the other person, enough faith in the other person's Christianity, if you want to put it bluntly, that verse 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. I find too many times I don't have these attitudes as I should. And my attempts at conflict resolution falter because of that. But assuming these things are in place or we're putting them in place, what are some keys for communication? Initiate communication. Communication, or at least the talking part of it, is so automatic that it's easily overlooked or forgotten. But we need to communicate. Why do we need to communicate? I would like to suggest to you that we don't communicate to solve problems. I would like to suggest that we communicate to build relationships. When the relationship is in place and the problem arises, we use the relationship to solve the problem. See, Paul and Philemon had a relationship. Because of that, Paul had confidence in Philemon. He said, you know, I know that if I just tell you these things, you're going to do it and you're going to do even more than I say. They had a relationship. Why? Because they communicated. I appreciate what Ivan said this morning about that small talk is not for nothing. Talking about your day of school is not for nothing. It's important. It's essential. It builds that relationship. But there is also the need to talk mindfully, to have a goal. Especially if there is a problem, let's talk this thing through. Let's work through it. Ask questions. Point B here. Ask open questions, not closed questions. By an open question, what do you see in my teaching that I could do better? It's pretty open. Rather than, what would be the closed equivalent of that? Don't you think I'm a better teacher than I used to be? We wouldn't say that. You know, but we think those types of things, perhaps. Ask specific questions. What could I do better in my classroom control? What are you seeing in how my students relate to each other on the playground? Those are good questions because they demand specific, direct answers. Is there anything we can do to make your job easier? This is a question I want to remember to ask several times throughout this coming year. What can I do to help you out? You've got a hard load. You're in the classroom every day, all day long. What can I do? The more open and specific your question is, the more likely you are to get a straight answer. Seek common ground. Remember verse 1 of Philemon? We are fellow laborers. We are all, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like, we are all interested in the work of the school and the good of the children. Sometimes we have vastly differing perspectives and ideas, and sometimes you wonder, do these parents really realize what attitude they're instilling in their children? Well, believe it or not, they actually do at the root want the same thing for their children that you do. Sometimes we struggle expressing that clearly. So remember that and seek common ground. Build rapport by focusing on points of agreement, and those points of agreement might be about this big sometimes. Hey, your science experiment was fascinating. I always enjoyed science, too. Or maybe you didn't always enjoy science, but hey, you can at least say it was fascinating, though you didn't understand anything of it. You know, it builds a rapport. Maybe you're having constant problems with these children, but hey, at least they come clean with their hair combed. Well, say that. You know, maybe their face is a permanent frown, but seek out the common ground where you can. Express appreciation. Paul did that in verses 4 and 5. Say it. Look for specific things to mention. I really appreciated the way you handled that sticky situation on the playground. I really appreciated how you, whatever. But show it, too. I've had, and this is more thinking on the patron end of things, I've had patrons who were very vocal in their support for the school, and, oh, you're doing a good job, and our children just love what you're doing. But when the rubber really met the road and some things happened that they didn't quite agree with, all of a sudden the support wasn't there anymore. So show your support by actually being behind the... Okay, I'm not talking to parents. But show your appreciation to your co-teachers, even if there are differences, perhaps. Some of these overlap so much. It's hard to appreciate someone you don't respect. And if you respect someone, you're going to appreciate them. So they really go hand in hand. What if you're completely missing each other? Try. And try again to understand. Listen carefully. Ask sincere questions. We heard this stuff this morning. Avoid the strong, the negative, the condemning language. Give them good feedback. Nodding with them, agreeing with them. I found rephrasing to be a very good aid in sticky communication situations. So what you're telling me is that it clarifies it in my mind. It clarifies in their mind. I've occasionally had it happen where when they heard me say what they had just said, no, that's not what I meant. You know, because sometimes we speak in the heat of the moment. Approach in openness and humility. Be in control of your emotions before going to discuss a problem. Be open to consider the other's viewpoint, reasons, and decisions. Be humble enough to accept his idea even if it goes against yours. I find that when conflict rises, there's always another death blow I can give to the old man, to self, to the ego. He wants to rise up. I don't like that my idea is being slighted. I don't like that my advice is being ignored. I don't like that my co-teacher is telling me this because I thought I was doing a good job. Use your adult voice when talking with your peers, with your co-teachers. Avoid control talk. Don't give orders. Avoid the you messages. You need to improve. You aren't doing this like you should. Rather, we would appreciate if, or maybe, I wonder if it wouldn't be wise to consider. But at the same time, we need to be direct and clear. Especially if you're an authority, if you're in charge, something's not right, be very clear and direct. Kind, of course, too. What's needed? What's expected? Don't beat around the bush. Be clear in what you say. Don't leave your listeners wondering, okay, was he trying to give me a hint here or not? You know, like I said, some of us hint takers don't do so well with that. But in your bluntness, remember love and respect. The golden rule goes a long way. Take personal responsibility for problems. Be quick to say, I'm sorry. Don't justify yourself. Don't generalize. Don't point fingers. Accept it. Because I have found whenever there's a sticky situation, even if I felt I did everything right, did I actually do everything I could have? No, because I'm not perfect. And even in my best efforts are flawed. So be mature enough to take your share of the blame and his share too if you need to. And it's easier said than done. Don't put the blame for unpopular decisions on the board or the chairman or the ministry. Don't tell your students, the board had a meeting last night. They decided that we're not going to be allowed to play football at school anymore. No. We have decided that we will not be playing football at school anymore. You put a distance between you and your authority. You put yourself on the side of the students against your authority. Point H, be willing to hear and do. Hear both sides out before you make a judgment call or a decision. Sometimes we find ourselves caught as administrators or principals between the teacher who's honestly doing her best and the parents who just really think the teacher's missing it. Hear both sides out. Don't make a quick judgment call. Sometimes the listening ear is all somebody needed to get through another day and to avoid burnout. Be willing to hear another opinion or try a new method. We're in the learning business, so let's learn. And then do. Do something about it. Apologize where you failed. Look for more and better ways to communicate. And I'll just end with verse 21 again. Having confidence in thy obedience, I spoke unto thee, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou would also do more than I say. There's so much more that I didn't cover, that I didn't talk about. And yet, Make the book of Philemon your handbook. If you're concerned about this year, your co-teacher relationship, memorize that book. Take it with you. I found it to be a powerful aid. God bless you.